Oh my God, look how skinny he is.
Let's go.
Look God, how you look skinny. He really looks great. Fuck.
Dude, you lost 40 pounds in your head.
I wish I lost.
Do you notice how, I mean, you don't because you look in the mirror every day, but to those of us who don't see you every week, you lost a lot of weight in your face.
I lost a lot of weight in my body, it looks like, too. I dropped 15 pounds just changing, not necessarily changing. I changed how I ate, yes, but I was losing weight before that, strictly from quitting the weed and the booze.
Yeah. So, well, I'm finding that for those of you curious, if you want to expedite your fitness, giving up animals and alcohol is definitely a expedites things.
Hmm. Well, yeah. Well, giving up the weed is really did the trick. Of course, you know what I mean?
You know, that makes you hungry. Mm. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Not only that, freaking. We THC is stored in your fat cells, and so it takes a long time to get out of your body. And when your body is detoxing from it, a lot of people think, "Oh, I could smoke weed." You smoke weed like me and Snoop Dogg, and then try to quit. You're gonna have some withdrawal.
Yeah,
and I had withdrawals like night sweats and stuff like that. And let me tell you something right now: night sweats kind of help with the losing of the weight.
But we don't endorse that as a means of trying to lose weight. I think alcohol helps. Giving up alcohol is not just the empty calories, but also what happens. You get buzzed and you're like, oh, fuck it. Let's order cheeseburgers, you know?
Right, right. Well, yeah, that helped too.
How are you? I miss you. I'm glad that I see you back in your closet.
I'm back in the closet. It's good to see you guys.
Hey, I want to say something. Not to toot my own horn, but Dan will please insert a tooting horn noise here. The film that I made with Christopher Walken is currently number 4 on iTunes.
That's amazing, dude.
Hey, congratulations.
That is awesome.
It's called Percy vs. Goliath, and please watch it. If you're listening and you can hear my voice, I would love for you to check it out. I have a supporting part, a relatively small part. I play his lawyer. It's a true story about a farmer who took on Monsanto in Canada, and it is the ultimate David and Goliath story. This man had the most insane courage. And Christopher Walken is Christopher Walken, for God's sakes. And Christina Ricci's in it. And, you know, we made this movie for $10, and it has no marketing budget. And I just thought, oh, this no one's ever going to see this. And then I looked this morning. It was number 4 on iTunes.
That's amazing.
That's amazing, yeah. Dude. That is absolutely awesome. Thunderous Thank applause, you. Dan.
Yeah, I got Indeed. This one, Daniel. Here.
I have
it's
your
the first
key
time
turners.
I've been able to give myself thunderous applause. Yes, Donald?
I have your key turners, so when we say turn your key, we can do all of that. And apparently, it's set up so that it can actually, like, Daniel, you'll have to be the one to do it, but it's set up to where you could plug something into it, and it actually functions as a mechanism. So
that's awesome. Wow. It's probably MIDI.
Now is that fellow who made those coming on the show?
I believe he's our guest today.
Oh,
he
great.
Certainly is.
We can ask him how to do it.
Yeah.
I guess it's MIDI. Absolutely. That's my guess.
What else is going on? I watched a really great movie. I gotta say something. Ready?
Go for it.
You know who's
Go
one of the most underrated actors in Hollywood?
Donald Faison. I agree. I agree. I agree.
That's what I'm talking about.
He needs more work. I'm telling
That's
you
what
right
I'm talking
now.
About.
Yes. If you're listening and you need an actor, call Donald.
Who's the most underrated actor?
No, I'm not the most, but a very underrated, amazing actress who I watched in a film that was drop jaw good last night is Molly Shannon.
Mm. Oh, Molly Shannon.
So
come on,
good.
Man.
Now, you might know Molly Shannon as genius comedian from SNL and from all the movies she's been in, but recently she's been doing some dramatic work, and holy shit, you have to see this movie called Other People. I'm giving it 10 out of 10 stars. It was incredible. And my brother's in town, and he goes, I can't believe she didn't get nominated for this. And I had the same thought. She is so fucking talented, that woman. I mean, I knew her to be a comedic genius, but she brings the drama chops too.
I feel like the Oscars this year was a little weird. I just to put it out there, you know, I thought Chadwick Boseman was a shoo-in to win.
So did they. That's why they put it last.
It was a mess.
That was so weird.
I don't
it was
understand.
Weird.
I don't get it. I don't know what happened.
I do have to say that that Anthony Hopkins performance in The Father is one of the most amazing performances I've ever seen,
well,
period.
It is Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Did you see it? Did you guys see it?
I did not see it.
I was sure Chadwick was going to win, like everyone, including the producers of the show. Even to my friends that day, I was like, Chadwick's going to win for obvious reasons and because he's an extraordinary actor and people are so heartbroken by what happened. But I said to myself, it's a close race because that Anthony Hopkins performance was holy shit, I can't believe. It was a masterclass in acting. And then I was genuinely surprised, like everybody, when he won. But yeah, see the movie because the movie's unbelievable.
Absolutely. If you're gonna complain about it like I am, I have to watch every movie before I can say. Like, I thought Chadwick was a shoo-in to win because of his body of work, you know, what he's meant to the entertainment industry since he's come through.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he passed away. And I was hoping that, you know, like other actors who have passed away in the past. That's a perfect example. Get the, you know what? It might not be the best performance of his career, but we're not going to get an opportunity to see anymore. So let's give him.
I think so many people thought that, Donald. I mean, they literally restructured the show so that it would end with this beautiful moment.
Right.
And I'm sure his widow speaking as she has done so eloquently before. So it was shocking to everybody.
But that being said,
let's talk about the television show Scrubs, shall we? 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made, about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's our stories, now we all should know. So gather around to hear our Scrubs Rewatch show with Zach and Donald.
I have my brother and my friend Preston in town, and I said, hey, I got to watch the show for the podcast. Do you want to watch with me? And they had lots of jazz cabbage, and I was like a little bit nervous because I was like, oh, what if it's one that's not that funny? They were fucking hysterically laughing at this episode. I was not smoking, but hysterically laughing at this episode. It's a really funny one.
It has some great moments in it.
One of the funniest moments in Scrubs history is you naked in the fetal position on the ground.
I even think it's funny when I'm on the ground. You can see me breaking as I'm saying these lines.
You are?
I'm smiling. I'm smiling. I have a smile on my face.
Your penis was well hidden. You must have, because your penis isn't one you can just tuck under. You really have to sort of strap it down like a leg holster. Do you have a leg holster?
Hold on, let me get my honor me.
Oh my God.
Oh, I lost my cheat sheet for where you honor me is. This is a guess. No, that's not.
No, that's the big one. We can't use that anymore.
I got it.
You honor me. There it is.
So did you have sort of I think in the firearm industry they call a leg holster to contain your shaft?
No, I wear compression shorts though.
I see.
To keep it in.
No, but you're naked in this particular shot we're talking
about. No. I have on compression shorts and I have on boxer.
Oh, briefs. I zoned out. I just pictured you naked.
You were just looking for ass and dick, huh?
Well, I don't want it, but it's nice to observe a girthy shaft in its natural habitat.
Oh my goodness.
Like, you know, anyway, I'll stop there. Hey, So wait, Carlin, I forgot that Carlin and Turk really break up and like could be on the verge of ending their relationship. It got real.
Yeah, I forgot all of this, to be honest with you. And when Shay was talking about it, I was like, I don't remember that. And then the scene pops up where they're sitting by the grave at the end of the show. And, you know, spoiler alert, they don't get back together at the end of this episode either, man. They're still kind of fucked up.
I really didn't remember that. That obviously it was wise as a showrunner to create drama, and so the audience is concerned. But I didn't remember it at all. That you guys were literally like living in separate houses and talking about not getting back together.
Has there ever been a show where the main characters on the show or the characters who are in love with each other get divorced?
Oh, I'm sure.
Like they threatened it on Blackish, but it didn't happen. Like, is there a show where it starts off where everything's, you know, awesome, and then 4 seasons in, they're like, let's get divorced?
I don't know. Joelle, are you looking that up?
I think in Will and Grace, Grace gets divorced.
Yeah, but Grace isn't married to Will. That's, you know what I mean? Grace is married
to... So the two main characters.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it happens. I don't think it's ever happened.
I don't know. But William Van Duser Lawrence clearly wanted to create some season four drama. By the way, we're going so fast. This is... Hey, you'll love this. It's 420. This is episode 420. Hey,
right on.
We're going so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, even though we slowed down to one a week, it feels like this is flying by. We really got to get our
we're almost posts. Halfway there.
Yeah, we got to get our post-Scrubs plans in order.
We do need to get that in order. How's your water drinking coming? I see you sipping.
Yeah, I'm supposed to. Now I moved on to a gallon a day.
You were not at a gallon a day?
No, I was at this thing that I drink out of is 2 gallons, and
that's 2 gallons right there.
Sorry, I misspoke. This thing right here is 2 liters.
Uh-huh.
I have this scene where I'm shirtless and I'd like to look my best, right? Because if you're going to broadcast yourself to Earth, you want to look your best.
Hold on 1 second, man.
That makes sense.
You've been drinking only 2 liters a day. I went straight full gallon a day from the gate, and I was pissing like a racehorse.
Yeah. The problem is that you pissing becomes sort of a very large part of your day.
Right. Like I have to plan. I got to plan.
Yeah, you got to
plan. When I'm drinking,
you got to plan when you got to drive somewhere. You got to plan. Like, good thing I'm not going to the movie theater because you couldn't go to the movie theater.
You're not watching the movie. You're not watching the movie. You're spending most of your time in the bathroom looking at the
mirror. I know. I'm not going to be doing a gallon a day when I'm not gearing up to.
But that's so healthy for you. Why not?
Well, 2 liters is one thing. A gallon is I think I could shift one step back. A gallon. Yeah, I feel great. So for what it's worth, I feel great. But maybe my bladder will like expand.
I'm thinking. Like the thing is, you have to spread it out with the keep chugging or whatever the message is. Because when you do it that way, you pee once. And then you pee again later. When you drink, like I've made the mistake of being like, oh man, I didn't make it to the end. And then drinking like a half a gallon of water and then going to bed and then getting up at 1.
I find if I put a little lemon in it, it makes it way more appealing because lemon water is delicious. Like who doesn't like that? But just plain water is.
I've gotten used to plain water.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, Joelle, we had talked about a lot, every time I post about this water bottle that with the inspirational things on it, fans are always in my Instagram like, where the hell did you get that? And then, of course, I thought we should make, since Donald and I both use this, a fake Doctor's Real Friends one that can have the times on it and like, you are deservant. And Eagle will be the last one. You made an Eagle.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right. Right. Yeah, Joelle, can we make that?
We're working on it. We are trying to figure out the best way to do it. But I think it's a great idea.
Well,
keep the world hydrated. That's one bottle at a time. That's
well, if there's one thing everybody listening has always heard from doctors or healthy people is that you got to drink a lot of water. And I've never done it. I've been so bad at it my whole life. And this bottle at least helps you because you're staring at it and you're like, come on, I don't want to fail. It's 3 p.m. I'm not at the 3 p.m. line. Come on. Right. Make it competitive.
Did you laugh at, you know, well, how would you feel if your husband was on the phone talking to some other woman? I feel pretty bad, yeah, but mostly because I have a husband. Did you laugh at that?
Yeah, that was funny. I laughed at a lot of stuff. Now, what about when you go, don't mention the carnival? And I'm like, what? Because it reminds me of Carla.
Right.
Remove the NIV.
And switch the L and the A.
And then you see JD like fuck with the letters on screen. That was so funny.
But then we still went to the carnival.
I know. I just laughed at remove the NIV. Like Turk had already done the breakdown of the word to figure out how to turn carnival into Carla.
You know, I knew Elliot was a nervous poor, but I didn't know she was that much of a nervous poor.
She really – now, like, I don't like this either. I do not want to talk to anyone. I've mentioned this before. I don't like talking.
No.
If I'm in a public stall and someone else is pooing, I can't poo.
Oh.
Can you sit down in a public bathroom?
Dude, you know me.
Let me finish. With what are the 3/4 of an inch of metal between you, and the other person's like.
We had this conversation, dude.
All right. Well, some people haven't heard every episode. Can you do that? I can't do
no,
that.
No, listen to me, man. I'm the man that we could be online at the movie theater to see Star Wars.
Oh, you go
Wars.
Home to poo. I forgot, yeah.
I will go home and poo. And it all stems from when I was doing this commercial and this dude's dad was in the bathroom and was going, oh, God, fuck my, oh, my butt.
Why? You know what's bad when someone screams,
here comes the corn.
Oh, God.
Whoa. Have you ever screamed why while having a bowel movement? That's not good.
Oh, no.
Why?
No. Yeah, listen. Thankfully. And listen, I have. And I'm
a curly or a letter, Jay. Yeah,
as long as it's a deuce. I have, and I was so dehydrated that it was like that thing was stuck at the exit.
Okay. We can stop there, Joelle. Oh, Joelle's cringing.
Thank you so much.
But wait, I want to say one more thing. So what I do if I have to go to the public bathroom is I first, and it's multiple stalls, I have to do the duck to see if there's other feet. If there's other feet,
I'm out.
Oh,
you get close to the floor? You get close to the floor like that, huh?
I don't lie down. I bend over, see if there's other feet. If there's anyone else, I'm out. I got to wait.
Okay, so if you got to
another bathroom.
And if you got to poo real bad, that's a wrap? You're just going to just shit yourself? What do you do?
I find another bathroom in that building. Or I...
if you're at the movie theater, what are you going to do?
I've never pooed at a movie theater.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about like, you know...
You ever pooed at a restaurant?
I don't think I've pooed at a restaurant. Mostly it's like, these examples, I mean, like, I'm editing a show and I'm in some big post-production facility.
And you're at Warner Brothers or you're at...
Yeah, or like, you know, when we're on movies, you have a trailer. You at least have a trailer with your own toilet, but... I don't know I don't think I've ever pooed at a restaurant. Although on my birthday, I had a birthday. Do you remember this? Were you there? Which 40th birthday.
I wasn't at your 40. I was at your 41st. Nobody was at your 40th birthday.
Yeah, they were. This is what happened. You came.
You got sick. That's right.
So I arranged to have 20, 25 people at a dinner at a very fancy restaurant, Catch
in New York.
In New York. And I don't know if you ever got food poisoning, or listener, or you two, but what all of a sudden I got all dressed up. People had flown in. It was going to be it's my 40th birthday. It was a big deal. And as I'm setting out the name cards on the table, I started to feel that rumble. You know that rumble where you're like, oh no. And I didn't have any booze in me or anything. It was just something I ate. And I'm setting out the fucking name cards around the table, like making sure the seating arrangement is right.
You probably had DeBarge's Rhythm of the Night in your head. To the beat of the rhythm of the night. Yep. It's my birthday night.
Yes, I had a little bop in my step. And then I was like, oh no. So then I start to feel I'm going to puke. Guests haven't even arrived yet. And this is a fancy restaurant in New York in the Meatpacking District called Catch. And I go, now I run to the bathroom. Now the bathroom, because it's a party place, has an attendant. That's to make sure that people don't, I guess, do drugs or have sex or whatever. It's meant to – the attendant in a bathroom, I assume, is meant – people think, oh, it's a fancy place. The guy's going to give me a mint and hand me paper towels.
And I got to give him a dollar.
Yeah, I think he's really there to make sure no one does drugs or fucks against the sink.
Or if he's smart about it, he's a motherfucking drug dealer. And he's like, I got that shit. Go in the stall.
Okay.
Maybe cut that out.
No, you can leave that. Everyone likes to hear how Donald would hustle as a bathroom attendant.
If I was a bathroom attendant. Well.
So anyway, so the stall has also been adjusted at this restaurant so that it doesn't go anywhere near the floor, again, for the same reasons. They don't want people congregating in there together. There's only one stall. It's probably – the bottom of the door is probably 3 feet off the ground. I don't know what the fucking stall door is blocking, but I have to puke. So I'm down on my knees and I'm trying to fucking get this puke out because I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, if I just puke, get this out, no harm, no foul, go back to my 40th birthday party. And then a guy comes into the bathroom behind me because it's, you know, a multiple thing. And he says to the bathroom attendant, pointing at me, I can hear him, see him pointing at my legs because everyone can see me. It's a high stall door. And he goes really loudly so I can hear. He goes, wow, already? Meaning like, it's only like 8:30. Why are you puking already?
Rude.
And now, mind you, I have nothing in my body. And so I'm not like drunk or anything. So I'm like, I can't get it up. I tip the guy like 20 bucks. I'm like, I'm so sorry, but I'm probably going to be back to puke. I don't feel well. And he's like, okay. And so Okay, do you want to buy some blow? No, I'm just kidding. So so I go back to the table. All the guests are arriving. I'm smiling at everyone. I'm like, oh, my God, this is really bad. This is really bad. This is really bad. And everyone's sitting down, and I run out the door. I'm like, fuck that bathroom. I'm just going to go puke on the street. So I run down to the street, and there's a dumpster, like, across the street. I start puking, like fire hose, like, Stand By Me, fire hose puking.
Straight up projectile vomit.
Yeah. Tight. And, of course, people are passing me on the street being like, oh, my God, this guy. Again, same attitude, like, little early, buddy. You know, that kind of thing. Everyone thinks I'm hammered, but I'm stone cold sober, food poisoning. And every time I puke, I won't tell you the whole story, but there's like 15 more times. I keep thinking this will be the time where it's over and I can I've gotten it out of my
system. You did the dealer slap and push away.
Yeah.
The dealer clap and push away from the table.
Yeah. Now, I've already paid for this dinner. Everyone's here. Now, the good news is when I went back, everyone, I could see everyone like you would. They think I'm out around socializing with other people. No one's thinking about me. They're all getting drunk. They're all eating sushi. They're all talking to each other. And finally, I go to my mom. It was one of those moments where even though you're 40, you need your mom. And I'm like, Mom, what the fuck? I probably didn't say fuck to my mom. Mom, what the heck am I supposed to do? Like, what am I supposed to do in this scenario? I'm puking at dumpsters outside. And she goes, you have to go home. And I was like, you're right. I'm in a French exit. Don't tell anyone. Or if they ask, you can tell them at the end. So I grabbed my coat and I left. And everyone had a great time at my birthday, and I paid the bill.
Well, wow, a generous friend.
That's very nice of you to pay that bill, buddy.
Oh, are you kidding me? Come on. They all came to my big birthday party, and I was incapacitated.
The next year was
the next year. Well, I rationalized the next year being like, this is going to be my 40th birthday. That was a mulligan. Is that what you say?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to take a mulligan. And we're going to go to Mexico and go all out. And then we did. And that's when Donald infamously got woozy.
That was when I got woozy, yeah.
My brother Josh is in town, and we were laughing about you getting woozy.
Yeah.
Nothing makes him laugh harder than you going, I was woozy.
I'm glad it didn't come out both ends, because that would have been really embarrassing, dude.
Yeah.
So...
It was horrible. It was horrible. I mean, if you've ever had food, I'm assuming it was food poisoning from something. It wasn't from Catch, which is an incredible restaurant. It had happened because I didn't even have a bite of Catch. It happened in some other restaurant that day. Anyway.
I wonder how Elliot would deal with this problem then. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of those moments where if she can't poo, if she's a nervous pooer, if you're a nervous pooer, I guess you'd have to project. She would just throw up on everybody.
Well, Elliot's extreme. Elliot tells Carla that if she cannot handle the no talking on the toilet rule, she's going to have to move out.
Yeah. Not only that, if she brings it up that she talked on the toilet, that she was on the toilet talking to her, she won't poo for another 2 weeks.
I wonder if Sarah really has this conundrum.
I'm sure Sarah's a nervous pooer.
Do you think Sarah's a nervous pooer?
I believe Sarah's a nervous pooer. I don't think, I feel like this is based on her character.
My brother said the same thing. My brother was laughing. He goes, this must really be her.
Yeah. I feel
we
like it's based on her.
We should have an Ask Sarah segment.
That would be great.
Can we do that? Sarah,
yeah, sure.
Are you really a nervous pooer? Do you, your character in this episode really, really cannot talk even through the door if someone's asking them a question?
She can't even talk about it, days after. At work, she can't talk about it.
Sarah, the audience want to know, all over the world, they want to know, do you have this problem with your anus?
So am I a nervous pooer? I think the answer is going to surprise you because it doesn't really go with my personality. And I think you're going to bet that I am a nervous pooer, but I'm actually not a nervous pooer. And I think that comes from when I was a kid, we did a lot of camping, like not just car camping, but, you know, hiking overnight in the woods camping. So I have like a very high comfort level with it. Also with talking about it, discussing it. I would say I'm more of a grateful pooer, you know, just grateful that it's, you know, everything's working out.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah, for talking about your bowel movement.
We should go to break, buddy.
Yeah,
let's
we'll
go
to break.
Break.
We'll be right back.
And we're back.
And we're back. What is? We laughed out loud when we were in the bouncy castle. My tummy's starting to rumble.
Speaking of nervous pooing.
Yeah. So I take you to the carnival.
We still go. I can't believe, and it's just the bouncy house.
Yeah, we really must have ran out of money by episode 20 of season 4 when the carnival was represented by a bouncy castle.
Yeah.
Bill must have spent that money elsewhere.
We should talk about Ken Jenkins and the Kelso storyline and how great it was and how great he was in it.
It's always so refreshing when Bill gives Ken more levels to play than just the grumpy boss, because he's such a good actor, Ken, that he just delivers. And you know, this was one of those episodes where he really got to do a lot with not only taking on a patient, but also his sort of old man camaraderie with Johnny C, you know, talking about how medicine used to be and how he was feeling, how doctors, and this, I imagine this came from real doctors saying, we feel disrespected in some ways. Now the advent of phones and the internet, everyone thinks they know more than us. And we used to have a level of respect in society that we don't get from everybody these days anymore.
Well, doctors also used to be a job that was, it was like, if you were a doctor, you were like, you know, you were a leader in the community. You know, there were so many things.
And great wealthy.
Things. Yeah, there were so many great things about being a doctor. And then,
I think you're still a leader in the community. And I personally think you're still respected. But I'm sure they would say, we don't make anywhere the money we used to make. And we have to go to school for fucking 8 years.
I would hope that people would look to doctors and to be leaders in the community. I don't know that I would. If my next door neighbor could be a doctor, I don't, you know, I'm not going to him.
No, but
I'm
don't you when, you, when you, when you come across someone who's a medical doctor, don't you, doesn't your brain
I have the utmost
trigger amount of respect for them?
I have the utmost respect for them, but a lot of it has to do with the fact that I played a doctor on television. You know what I mean? A lot of it has to do with knowing what they go through and how stressful the job is. You know,
but in our society, you meet someone and they're dating someone new and you go, what does he do? What does she do? They go, oh, she's a doctor. You're like, oh, you know, that's still a natural reaction.
Right. And then you find out that they end up making no money. And then
you find out they're a chiropractor and you're like, oof.
Well, you find out they're a dermatologist.
I'm just kidding.
Well, you find out they're a dermatologist. That was so funny. That was very funny.
That wasn't me. I didn't even hit it, Daniel.
Sure you didn't.
It's got a mind of its own.
That was very funny with the dermatologist running down the hall. Move!
Yes.
Get out of my way! Get out of my way! And then his diagnosis at the end was like, ooh, yeah, your skin looks bad.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really funny. And then Cox says, you look like a purse.
Yeah.
Because the guy was so sunburnt and fucked up his face with melanoma.
That was very, very funny.
Now let's talk about the most important thing that happens in this episode of all time, the introduction of Hooch.
Well, it's not the introduction, but it's the us finding out. This is the first time you say Hooch is crazy.
Wait, I have a question. Hooch was in another episode?
Hooch is in an episode with Tom Hanks' brother.
That already happened? No.
Did it not happen yet?
No.
Okay, so yeah, I guess this is the introduction
of Hooch. This is the introduction of Hooch. I know that to be a fact because I double-checked Scrubs Wiki.
Okay, well, I'm going to say this then.
Go ahead.
Turk and JD egged Hooch on.
Yes.
Turk and JD made Hooch crazy.
No, I disagree.
We made him crazy.
No, sir. You can't make someone crazy like that. We didn't know what we were messing with. We messed with the bull and we got the horns.
Many episodes later.
We just assumed that he was sort of laughing along with us. He was not fucking coming to play.
It's okay, it's okay, JD. JD. It's okay, Turk. It happens all the time. You could have said beer instead of Hooch, though.
The best part about that is I want the audience listening to go back and watch this moment where Phil Lewis, the fucking hilarious Phil Lewis,
the comic genius that he is.
Did you see what he does on the counter? He does a little double tap. He's so livid. Did you catch that, Joel? He's so livid, and he's holding all his fucking rage in. And he comes when we said let's have some hooch or whatever we say. And he comes in. It's in the lobby, and he's through the little window to the hallway. And he goes, it just feels like I don't know where he does it, but he puts a little in the pause. It just feels like you could have said something else. It's just a little. There's something about it I find so funny. It's his rage is going through his whole body, and all he can do to hold it in is just do a little counter tap.
Right. it alleviates the rage just a little bit.
Yeah, he's tapping it down. It just lets a little bit of the rage come out through his fingers. But dude, a hooch is fucking keeping that rage in. And we think, oh, it's fun to mess with hooch, but we don't know what's gonna come out of it.
Well, you say it yourself after you get Elliot to do it. Just say hooch.
But I'm still saying it in a joking way, dude. I'm still hooch like, is hooch crazy.
That's called, that is the long game, dude. Yeah. That is the long game. Bill and the writers were playing the long game on this joke because the payoff doesn't come for many, 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 many episodes.
Yeah. Well, you know what happens is that, and this is a lesson to you actors out there, you could come onto a show. I mean, Phil was a known actor, but you could come onto a show with two sentences. And if you do something that's funny or great, the writers start to write for you. I mean, let's just have him back. Let's keep going. And Phil obviously wasn't an unknown actor, but he was so fucking funny as this character that Bill just kept writing for him, kept putting him on. And then obviously, as you all know, he became a fan favorite. And you know, Hooch is Crazy is something that gets said to me
all the time.
Times a month.
I'm sure when Phil meets people, I'm sure he's heard that before.
Oh, yeah. And No Running in My Lobby, apparently, from Zach and Cody. Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. I guess he was the hotel manager, Joel?
He was.
Yeah, he was.
The concierge.
Yeah.
I think he was the manager, if memory serves. It's been a minute. But yeah, he was definitely staying on top of
Were you young enough to watch that show, Joel?
I was like just above the age, but I was still watching a lot of Disney cartoons. So occasionally I would, you know, catch a clip or a moment.
That's like when Saved by the Bell came out. I was a little too old to be watching Saved by the Bell, but I still watch Saved by the Bell.
Well, you know, sometimes you just catch yourself watching some kids' shows.
I don't think there's a show meant for young people that I watched into adulthood.
Really?
Well, I don't know. I can't think of one. I mean, American Idol, I guess, I watch sometimes. That's probably
That's not for young people. That's meant for everybody. Yeah. That's for everybody. The janitors are drunk, dude. Holy cow.
I don't know if he's... Yeah, he is. There are a lot of jokes about him being a covert alcoholic.
Wow. He's really drunk in this episode.
Yeah, he didn't have much to do. I don't even think he had much of a laugh. He just had to be like drunk at work.
Right. Well, he had to do voiceover.
Yeah, that was weird too. So what happened was I tap him and he starts voiceover again. And I turn to my brother because I was reminding him. I go, oh, you know, once a season I pass the voiceover around, this must be the janitor's episode. And then it wasn't. He just did... All of a sudden, Bill sort of broke his own rules and gave the janitor like a few lines of voiceover.
Right. That scene and then the scene later when he's in the hallway with Kelso.
It really bothered me that Kelso can't get the door open, right? And you see clearly that he's not pushing the handle that would open the door, right? He's not even trying it. And then he adds a line like, how did she lodge this door closed? And then we cut inside. There's clearly nothing blocking the door. Right?
And then he uses the screwdriver to...
Well, then he uses the screwdriver, right? But I didn't even think the hinges are on that side of the door, right? So then later on, the door has obviously been repaired, and he busts it open like he's the Hulk again without a screwdriver.
Right. He just wanted to make an entrance. That was very funny. And then his speech at the end was, you know, to this day, it's one of the best lines. I don't want to butcher it. What does he say? Anything?
Nothing worth having comes easy.
Right.
Mm. Which is the lesson of the show and very, very useful advice to everybody on everything, anything you want. It's not going to come easy.
I didn't know Google was around back then.
Yeah.
I remember Ask Jeeves. You remember that?
Yeah. Ask Jeeves. She has an early smartphone. Because, you know, if you look at the show, all of us are really using flip phones still. She has sort of like a Palm Pilot, the character that Kelso's dealing with. She has sort of a Palm Pilot.
Yeah, right? I found that very, very – I just didn't know that we had Google like that back then. I remember Yahoo. I remember – you know, I didn't know Google was
– I don't know. Joelle, what
Google
year –
launched in 1998, September 4th, 1998.
What year did the iPhone come out?
2007.
2007. So we're nowhere near the iPhone coming out yet.
What were people using at this time? Then?
Well, we had flip phones, and then the woman in this episode clearly has some internet phone because she's using her little stylus. It must have been a Palm Pilot, I'm guessing.
But yeah. Wi-Fi was around like that, or she's on. You know what I mean? Like, how was she?
I don't know. How did Palm Pilot work, Daniel? You're the tech whiz.
They had. Thank you very much. They could receive internet through, like, you know, either Wi-Fi or.
But I'm pretty sure at this point everything was hardwired into the wall, right? You had Ethernet and.
No.
We've had Wi-Fi for a long time. We've had Wi-Fi for a long time.
Oh, I just didn't get hip to it until after Scrubs, I guess.
Well, you probably didn't have DSL. You maybe had a modem.
Yeah, that's what
I don't know.
I don't know either, to be honest with you. I just found this very interesting. I was like, wow, my remembrance of technology is way off.
Who says you? Nurse Roberts says she
Googled your ass. Yeah,
was that Nurse Roberts who said that?
Yeah.
And then he goes, "I'm not Nurse Roberts. I'm not into your street lingo."
Very.
He's never heard of Google.
No, neither did I at this point. I'm sure of it. Anyway.
What about when Judy's speaking Spanish and Sarah cracks up and she goes, you know what I'm saying? She goes, no, I just know when to laugh in any language.
We look good doing that cocktails thing.
We looked good. My brother was like, what did you train for that?
We did rehearse.
We rehearsed. I know we rehearsed, but why did we look so good?
I don't know.
We looked good.
Yeah, we did.
We looked like we were having a blast. That looked like a fun party to be at. I wanted to be at that party.
So did I. At that moment in time, I was like, wow, look at all the ladies. And look at Turk and JD.
We were like in Cocktail, like that Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah. I even did the spin with the bottle opener.
Yeah. That was fun. And then we were like, stay here and drink for Carla.
Right.
So then I said, Turk has a hangover. Oh, even though I had a hangover that would slay a walrus. Oh, man. So you're so hungover that I think you've missed your lunch meeting with Carla, but you've actually slept through it on purpose. And it
turns out he just didn't want to go.
Yeah. Why?
Because he was having so much fun with JD, and he felt like it, you know... when the fight gets real, are you somebody who's going to dig in and punch back, or are you going to run? You know, and it seems like at this moment in time, Turk's a runner.
Yeah. Well, I think he has some sort of drunken epiphany because he decides like, no, I'm not going to be the one that's like begging to get back anymore. I got to get out of the fetal position. If you don't want to be in this, then you don't want to be in this.
But it's not even being in the fetal position. He doesn't even want to try anymore. He's like, I'm not even going to try.
But then he does show up at the grave.
But that's after Kelso's speech about what's going on.
You're right. Kelso's advising
the young lady about
getting a gastro bypass. And then that's funny when he means to be talking to her and then you settle up right next to her and like, I forgot what you say, but you say something like, go on.
Right. Pretty much.
And then he says, nothing worth having comes easy, whether it be taking on your weight or taking on a relationship problem or taking on your career goals, whatever it is. If it's worth having, it's not going to happen without work.
That's right. It's all about the journey. It's all about the journey.
Did you notice? That's what you say. I wrote it down. You go, what if it's too hard?
Yeah, what if it is too hard?
Okay. Did you notice John Inwood directed this episode, who was our cinematographer for 8 seasons of Scrubs. And I don't know if it was John or Carrie Bennett, our wardrobe designer, but there's an interesting thing they did with the wardrobe of you two at the grave. You're in the exact same colors.
I didn't recognize that.
Your outfits aren't matching, obviously, but your clothing items are the exact same shade, just like her shirt is your sweatshirt or something like that. That's to signify that you're meant to be together.
Well, yeah, that they're going to be all right, that there's still unity in the two of them, whether they know it or not. They're still one. as you would.
But
hope
didn't you think
be.
That was a creative choice to make them, even though
Absolutely.
They are separated, they are still one in little subtle things. The audience might not even notice it, but I happen to notice it.
That's awesome.
How about Sarah stuck in the grave?
That was hilarious. And she was stuck in the grave. And she was stuck in the grave all night. She's like, "Well, it can't get any worse." And then the thunder.
Now, someone said on Scrubs Wiki that they thought that might be a reference to Young Frankenstein, because apparently in Young Frankenstein, there's a joke. I'm going to read it off Scrubs Wiki. A possible reference to Young Frankenstein when Dr. Frankenstein and Igor are digging a grave, and Igor says, "Could be worse. Could be raining." Before hearing thunder,
yeah.
Oh, when we say tokers, smokers, and jokers, that's lyrics.
I'm a toker.
Yes.
I'm a smoker.
Steve Miller Band. Woo, woo. Some people call me the space cowboy. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice. You know that song?
Yeah. I'm a toker. I'm a smoker.
I'm a smoker.
I'm a midnight, whatever the fuck he says.
No, it's midnight toker. I'm a joker. I'm a smoker. Midnight toker, playing my music in the sun, right?
Yep.
If you don't know the Joker, you got to listen to it. It's a old school jam.
I was going to say this. We jumped so far ahead, but in the beginning, when the young lady is delusional because she's been at work for so long.
Yeah, that was funny.
And at the end of it, she has popcorn.
Yeah.
Did you laugh at that? I laughed real hard.
I laughed out loud. How does she have popcorn?
How does she have popcorn? That made me laugh, yes.
She's so delusional. She's like, "I'd like two tickets to," I forgot what movie she
Million Dollar to. Baby. She went to see Million Dollar Baby. She was in the cafeteria.
The crazy thing about hospitals is that they work these poor people so hard, and then they're meant to be like saving lives. She's like hallucinating. She hasn't slept in so long.
Right.
She's at the cafeteria buying theater tickets. And then she's got a big tub of popcorn. How did she get popcorn? Joelle, do we have a guest today?
We do have a guest, yes.
And they're here right now. They're here.
All right, Excellent. Why don't we take a break? We come back. We have an interesting guest that Donald knows today.
Sean McBee is in the house, yo.
I want to also mention that next week we have the two directors of Seaspiracy on. So you're going to want to make sure that betwixt now and next Tuesday, you watch Seaspiracy, because then you'll really be able to participate in the discussion. I'm very excited about that. It's a fancy
Also, yes. When this show airs, you know what day it is.
What?
May the 4th be with you.
Oh,
shoot.
So should we act like it's May the 4th and say happy May the 4th to you, Donald and Joelle?
I mean, you could say it, but, you know, I'm going to say it again on May the 4th.
Yeah, but we're not going to be recording a podcast.
I know, but I'm going to dedicate my Instagram
but
to
I
it.
Will
what are you going to do for May the 4th?
Work.
Mm. You have work?
Yeah, man, it's not a national holiday. Shit. It's just
it should
the
be
nerds holiday. It's just the nerds holiday.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what are you going to do to celebrate May 4th?
I'm probably going to buy a lot of Star Wars shit, dude, like you always do on May the 4th.
Okay, Joelle, what are your plans?
Well, I'm going to be gearing up for the new animated series that's coming out.
Oh, that's right, Bad Batch comes out that day, and it's going to be like an hour and a half freaking premiere. I can't wait.
Yeah, so I'm going to just be diving deep into the Clone Wars saga. I have all of the books. I'll probably be doing some reading. Just loving on Star Wars.
Donald, did you see that Disneyland is reopened at partial capacity? I thought you'd be excited about that.
I am excited about it. We're trying to figure that out now. Disneyland.
Are you going
to
go? Are you going to be one of the people that is an early adopter of returning to theme parks?
Yeah, man. I don't know. I'm vaccinated.
Right.
And my wife's vaccinated. And in California, as a matter of fact, across America, the CDC says you can walk outside without masks on as long as you're not in a crowded place. And so if it's crowded, I'm definitely going to, I'm sure they have rules.
I think it's required to wear a mask at all times.
It is. Cool, and they're only at 30% capacity. For the foreseeable future, so
That's cool it's in a the good gang, time. Too. Yeah,
it's you must a good... be excited to return. Now, are there Star Wars rides that you haven't been on that might be newly open?
I've been on everything.
Okay. I haven't Charlie, been to yeah. the new Star Wars land yet, and I need to go.
I'm ready.
In that area where they do that little show when the people come out in costume and they engage with the fans, do you talk to them? Are you like, Stormtrooper, I want to talk to you?
Well, that's the thing. The Stormtroopers come up to you.
Right. And like, let me see ID.
The Galaxy's Edge is that it is interactive and you choose a side when you get there. It's like you're either New Republic or you're First Order. And if you're New Republic, there are people that interact with you. If you're First Order, there are people that interact with you. And it's an adventure, and you fly the Millennium Falcon, and you go on this real dope ride that is
Joelle,
like,
what's happening over there? Are you just so
I just want to be there so bad. Like,
it's really, you know, I'm going to say this. The ride itself is like Small World, but
it's like the interaction. World?
Yeah, well, it's like you're
not
sitting
really
in
a good advertisement for
no,
the
because
ride.
Look. It is Small World is fucking awesome, dude.
World is Small what? World awesome.
Y'all don't like Small World?
I liked it as a kid because we have to come and see Small World. But as an adult, I skip Small World. I don't want to.
Not at all. I get on Small World every time. Look, so it.
Well, you have little kids. Good for you. If I had little kids, I would. But I'm not. I go with adults. I'm not going on Small World.
So it's a. You're literally being. I don't want to give it away to the fans.
I was
going
to say, I almost want to pause this because like, I feel like we're about to enter spoiler territory for this.
Yeah,
experience.
I don't want to give it away to the fans.
I didn't know that rides had spoilers.
This one's particularly special. This one has, it's like you're in a movie, dude. I'll leave it at that.
I haven't been to that one because it wasn't open when I went. But I went on the one where you feel like you're flying around and it really made me nauseous.
Did you fly to Millennium Falcon? No.
Yes, I'm
you
sorry.
You got on Star Tours. You're talking Star Tours.
Yeah, what's the
Star
one
Tours.
That's basically you're watching a movie?
Star
and
Tours.
You're talking Star Tours.
Star Tours. Star Tours.
We should be done with those kinds of rides.
No, because they redid that one also. Star really Tours is fire also. But you fly the Millennium Falcon, dude, and you literally fly the Millennium Falcon, and everybody has
only one
a
person
purpose.
Gets to.
No, Zach.
I was tasked with hitting buttons that didn't do anything.
Yeah, you do. If you can listen, man. If you listen, okay.
How worked up he's getting.
The higher your score
is, you are getting so worked up. Calm down.
Listen, if you get the I've gotten a couple of canisters of coaxium, right? And if you get the coax, you go into the cantina and they freaking give you love. They're like, yo, I heard your coaxium run was whatever, and
pretty
you're like,
successful.
yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
What?
Oh my God,
dude! It's amazing. You can build droids. You build lightsabers, dude.
I saw this video of this guy.
They got a shop where they got a baby Sarlacc in it, man. There's a baby Sarlacc, Sarlacc.
I saw the girl who plays Rey walking around, and some guy was like trying to like flirt with her. It was so cringy. It was the most cringe because this poor girl. Like, it's one thing to be in a Stormtrooper outfit, but she's, you know, dressed as like the beautiful Rey, and this guy's like trying to like talk her up, and she's like, "I've got to be going back to my ship now." I was like, "This girl has the worst job."
It's
in Hollywood.
Some of the best motion control characters I've ever seen in my life.
You're talking about the ride I haven't been on, because the one I was on I did not like. And then I went
to
the
Star Wars
bar. It
looks like it's
a
real thing. It looks like the bar is amazing too. The drinks
are great. The design of the bar is beautiful, yes. I mean,
so I was lucky enough at one point to be in the Star Wars camp, and then I blew it by, you know, being me and rebelling against certain things. But I was in the Star Wars camp and I got to go behind the scenes and see all of this stuff before it was made. And it was one of the most amazing things I've ever been a part of in my life. I was one of the first people to ever fly the Millennium Falcon. I'm going to put it out there.
That's dope.
I think when you walk into that world and you see the Millennium Falcon, it looks cool. But for me, it was kind of like, but that new ride wasn't open yet. Yes, what were you going to say, Daniel?
All I was going to say about this is there's a podcast I listen to called Podcast The Ride where they talk about these things. And a terminology that I learned from that podcast is called ride system. And a ride system is how you describe things like the chairs that you sit in. So, for example, if a ride has like a thing that you walk along, that is a ride system. If you think about like Haunted Mansion, where you sit in those little chairs, that is an individual ride system. A roller coaster where you strap yourself in, that is one ride system. This Star Wars ride is four separate ride systems in one ride, in one experience. So that is why I've been trying to spare myself the like the spoiler experience.
Oh, dog! I don't want to tell you what happens.
No, you don't.
I was trying. Listen, I was trying.
It's too bad that I now have to tell you what happens.
Now I got to do it.
No, don't.
Now I got to do it. No, it's too late. You said you didn't want to know.
No, I was trying to provide.
I was talking it down when I said it was Small World. I was talking it down when I said it was Small World, buddy.
No,
I was trying to not. I was not trying to make your expectations high. You're going to enjoy this.
Have they updated really Small excited. World at all, or is it just the no. same thing over and
no,
over?
No, it's a classic design by one of the most famous Imagineers ever. We got to leave that alone. Pristine.
Right. Well, you clearly love it.
Mm. Oh, man, it's not my favorite ride. It's really challenging to sit there and listen to the same song over and over and over again.
Yeah, but it's beautiful,
but just from
man.
A design perspective and a historical man. Perspective, I think it's important.
You know, okay. I think if you skip out on Small World, you're skipping out on a great experience that has been around forever with Disneyland or Disney World. I'm just putting it out there.
All right. There you go. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we have a very interesting guest. We'll be right back. And we're back!
And we're back!
I'm sitting here in a wet bathing suit, and I've been thinking the whole time about taking it off.
Don't do it. Please, no.
No, I mean, I wouldn't show my junk to you guys if I would wear a towel. But
let's bring in the guest.
Why don't, should we have the guest opine if they think I should take off my wetsuit?
Sure, we can ask Sean. He's going to tell you to take it off, though, but okay.
Sean will decide.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all walks of life, please welcome Sean McBee!
Hey, guys.
Hi, Sean.
What
Welcome
up, bro?
To the program.
How's everybody doing?
How you doing? Why does it look like you have a more professional audio recording studio than we do, and we have a successful podcast?
I have two unsuccessful podcasts that I put way too much money into.
Dude, your setup looks amazing. Daniel, can you take a screenshot?
Thank
I
you.
Need all of that shit he has.
No problem. We'll get it right over.
Oh, my God.
What podcasts do you do?
Yes, plug your podcast right off the bat, Sean.
All right, right off the bat. I've got one called Table Reads, where me and two guys funnier than me read scripts that never got made and sort of riff on them.
That's
and
good.
It's not like aspirational scripts. It's like big budget money grab things like Joss Whedon's Wonder Woman.
And you got to hold in the scripts.
Like yeah, we read the scripts and we point out what's terrible about them.
What about Tim Burton? Did you ever do Tim Burton's Superman?
It's on the list.
Can you find
it? How do you get these scripts?
Oh, there's places all over the internet and, you know, I work in the film industry, so sometimes I get a little side hookup here and there.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
I know that vibe.
That is awesome.
My brother once got when Matrix first came out, it was his favorite movie, and someone hooked him up with Matrix Dailies.
Wow.
Which, for those of you who don't know, is the raw footage, just like not edited together. It's just like Keanu Reeves doing take after take of like waking up. And I remember I came in one day and my brother was just sitting there watching Matrix Daily. Just because he loved the movie so much. He just wanted more.
I would watch Star Wars Dailies in a heartbeat.
Yeah, you would watch Star Wars Dailies, Donald.
Yeah, all of the cutscenes, everything.
Yeah. All right, Sean, what else is going on? What's your other podcast?
Oh, I do a podcast about Stargirl called Stargirl After Show.
Nice.
And I worked on that one, so I figured, you know, I'm friends with most of the cast, so I may as well use that.
You know who's on Stargirl, Zach?
Who?
A young lady by the name of Amy Smart.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You might know her listener as a Tasty Coma Wife.
That is her show. She's on the CW. It's a Berlanti show.
Yeah.
The Justice Society is in it, so there's... You know, I don't know about the second season, but the first season, they reintroduced a lot of really cool characters like Hourman and who was the original star? Who was star? Was it Starman originally? Is that who it was?
Yeah, it was Joel McHale.
Joel McHale.
Mm.
Oh, wait.
Yep.
Joel McHale's on this show as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I like Joel McHale.
And Luke Wilson's on the show also. He plays. It's a dynamite
and
cast.
And who's Stargirl?
A young actress named Breck Bassinger.
Okay. And do they shoot in
Super
Atlanta?
Amazing.
They do shoot in Atlanta. They shot it right across from the stage where we shot Powerpuff.
Sean, I'm assuming that you are Atlanta based, right?
Yes, I am.
And how did you, are you a prop master?
No, I'm a graphic designer.
Okay.
So
how did you and Donald meet? Tell everyone the backstory, because I only know that you gave us this incredible present that we want to talk about, but I don't know how you guys worked together and what came about.
That's how we met.
Yeah,
were you working on Powerpuff Girls?
Yeah, he's working on Powerpuff.
Let him tell it, Donald.
Jeez.
Sean.
So yeah, I was lucky enough to work on Powerpuff, and I was like the first person on the crew, like down below everybody, that found out that Donald was going to be on the show, because I was helping put together the presentation for the network. And they're like, hey, you gotta add a picture of Donald Faison to the professor page. And I was like, what? Okay. And so you know, I had, in COVID, I'd sort of fallen behind on this podcast. And so Donald's coming on the show and I'm like, all right, I got to get caught up on this. And I'm listening one day on my way to work and I hear Donald talking about how much he loves a care package. And I'm like, okay, I'll put together a care package for this dude.
Oh my God.
And the care package turned out to be one of the coolest things ever. So we gotta get into this, because you said to me that the key and the button are actually functional.
No, wait, you're going too fast. We need to remind some people where this started. Donald and I, on one of these episodes, talked about our love of the film War Games.
Yes.
And which is just I remember to be an amazing movie. I haven't seen it in a very long time. But one of the things that always stuck with me was the opening of the film, which is a bit of a prologue where two men who are the people in the nuclear silo that are when they get the message from the president to launch the nuclear rocket missile, both have to turn their keys. And one of them turns it and the other guy is like panicking. He's like, before I kill X amount of million people, I want to get someone on the phone.
Yeah.
And he's not doing what you're supposed to do. He's not following the protocol because he doesn't want to launch the weapon. And the other guy pulls out his firearm and he says, turn your key, sir.
Turn your key, sir.
Yes. And it's a really powerful opening. You learn later that it was a drill to see if human beings could pass the test to launch a weapon that would kill millions and millions of people. And they obviously failed and they decided to make it computerized, which is the beginning of the movie. So on our show, when we jokingly say, when we want to, like, what is it, for thunderous applause or what is it, for anything, we're just like, I want you to turn your key. Turn your key, Zach, right?
Turn your key, sir.
Yes.
And so Sean made an actual mechanism that looks like... Okay, go ahead.
I didn't make them. You're giving me too much credit there.
Yes.
Well, I was like, I bet something like that exists out there. And I did some searching and I found some. And so I got you these big red buttons that unlock with a key and put turn your key on there. I left off the sir because I didn't want to leave Joelle out.
Oh, God, you're a thoughtful man.
So
first of all, I love that you're
you.
Spending money on Donald with a care package. It's very thoughtful of you.
Dude, there was a lightsaber in there.
There was also a lightsaber, Sean. Where did you get the lightsaber?
Luke's lightsaber that was handed down from his father, which he then gave to Rey, was in the care package.
So
the very same one.
That was a lightsaber that I had for a number of years, and then I got my hands on a real Graflex flash tube you can see behind me right there.
Yeah.
And made like a super, super legit one for myself. And so then I had this spare lightsaber for quite a while. And
hey, another man's
treasure. Though I was saving it to give it to someone special.
There we go.
Finally, that person came along.
So why are you so nice, Sean? Beautiful. I mean, you seem like a very nice human being. Are you like this to lots of people in your life, or just are you a Donald Faison mega fan?
It's not just Donald Faison. It's both of you guys. Like, I've watched Scrubs so many times. The show's given me so much joy over the years. And here's an example. I was, you know, getting ready for yet another rewatch when I heard about this podcast launching. And so I started watching along with you guys. But by the time you got to episode 5, I was finished with the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I just can't keep
that.
We
got to get you, but for the audience who can't see, Sean has a beautiful glass case behind him. It looks like some treasured props from different films and TV shows. Am I right, Sean?
Yeah, mostly replicas.
Okay, well, I feel like we need to get him something, Donald, for his case.
I agree, man. Well, you know, I'm trying to get back into Lucasfilm. If I could get something from them, I would send it your way. If the show gets picked up, you'll have all the swag you need from that end of things. I'll sign whatever you want me to sign.
I know. We got to get him something worthy of his dope glass case, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Where do you look for replicas, Sean? I mean, I know there's on the internet and eBay, right? Is that where you find stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I've been parts of online groups that are just dedicated to this super nerdery. And I make a fair amount of them myself. Like here.
Is that the sculpture from Batman, the TV show, that behind you?
Yes, it is.
Oh my God! You see, aren't you impressed, Donald? I pulled that out. Does it have a button when you lift up the head?
It does. Yeah.
Oh my God!
Yes.
Is it Shakespeare?
It is.
It is.
Oh wow, Holy Donald! Shit. I thought you'd be impressed that I got all three of those.
I mean, I'm impressed. Well done. Pulled that out. Holy shit!
A working puppet from Tom Servo from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh my God! Yeah. That is.
That is dope. It's a working puppet.
Yeah.
Lights up and everything.
Green lantern thing?
No, he doesn't light up.
There's a green lantern. His little mouth, right? Is that a green lantern?
Green lantern power battery.
Wow.
Mojo Jojo helmet that I made and designed myself.
What's Mojo Jojo?
From Powerpuff Girls.
So Mojo Jojo is the bad guy from Powerpuff Girls.
Okay, no spoilers, guys. No spoilers. But they better fucking pick up this show. I'm gonna call Berlanti right now. See
Do it. Call him. Call him.
Listen.
It seems
call him and Sarah.
Unlikely that it wouldn't get picked up, right?
Sean, let's not jinx it, baby. Knock on something that's wooden.
Well, Sean is very dialed in, it seems to me, to the Greg Berlanti Atlanta universe. Are you, Sean?
Well, I mean, I've worked on 2 Berlanti shows now.
Did you feel a good vibe on this show that it had a shot? Because I do, and I'm just saying that because I love Donald, but I feel like it was a good vibe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that people really say no to Greg Berlanti, and we have an Academy Award-winning screenwriter as our writer and showrunner.
Yeah. Greg Berlanti's kind of like the Spielberg of CW. He's like, you know.
No, it's more than a CW, man. It's more than
CW. I'm not minimizing it by CW, but he is sort of like the Shonda Rhimes of CW.
He has a show on every network, pretty much. Maybe not ABC right now, but he has something somewhere, somehow.
I wonder if it's his Northwestern education.
It must
be. They say Northwestern is the Harvard of the Midwest.
They do, and I'm not just the only one who says that. I bet you Greg Berlanti says that himself. I worked, one of the first student films I ever worked on was written by Greg Berlanti at Northwestern.
One of the first movies you ever starred in was directed and written by Greg Berlanti
as well. Yes, and we had the same acting teacher named David Downs. And
he came on the show, didn't he?
Yes, and he has spoken of him because in the Wizard of Oz episode, he's the man that is losing, whose son is ill, right?
Yes.
And you have a great scene with him.
Yes, that was really awesome too.
There you go. Now, that's your 6 degrees of Greg Berlanti for you.
Well, I mean, it's not very hard. He's everywhere.
Yeah. What do you think his most successful popular show is on CW? Riverdale? Is that his?
Probably
yes,
Flash?
The Flash.
Oh, Flash. Yeah. The Flash. Yeah.
Flash or Arrow. He also had the Green Lantern's coming out. That's the next one. I think that's on HBO.
HBO Max.
Max, yeah. He's got a bunch of shows on HBO Max, actually. From Titans to Doom Patrol to now the Green Lantern show. Like, Greg is, I'm sorry, Mr. Berlanti is really.
I think you're allowed to call him Greg. I think you're allowed to call him Greg. Sean, did you always work in film, how did you get into the business? I'm sure people who like graphic design and who might want to do what you do. How did you do it?
So I sort of stumbled and fell into it. My wife had gone to art school in Atlanta, and we lived in Florida. She wanted to move here. And, you know, I've been into replicating props and stuff forever. And this show, Constantine, came out on NBC.
Another Berlanti show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was this weird, like, Art Deco record on it that played the devil's voice. And I recreated the, you know, art for it, and then I actually like had it pressed into a record that played the sounds and everything, and I put it on Twitter and I tagged the production designer for the show, and he liked it. We got talking on Twitter. When my wife and I came up for a 4-day trip to Atlanta to look at neighborhoods to maybe move to, he said, "We'll stop by the studio." He had just lost his graphic designer and he hired me on the spot his graphic designer.
Wow. Whoa. But you made that happen. I mean, that's the lesson, and is that you were like proactive. You tagged him on Twitter. You worked for it. It didn't just happen to you.
Yeah. And it was something that I loved doing that I just did. And I put it out there in the world, and I whiteboarded that before I knew what whiteboarding was.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Well, you made it happen, man. And so tell people who might not know, like, the different tasks that a graphic designer has on a show, because you've already mentioned things as varied as making a promotional thing that included Donald's picture to redesigning a prop. Like, what are the different things a graphic designer does on a show?
So a graphic designer tends to do anything that has graphics that actually goes in front of a camera. Mm-hmm. So it's not like on screen graphics, like VFX or anything like that. It's signage. It's if someone has a graphic t-shirt on, patches for the police cars, any kind of props.
Any prop that needs to be bespoke for the show, and even plenty not, right? Because if you can't show Coca-Cola, you have to make sort of a Coca-Cola-like label that isn't too close. You have to know what you're allowed to do, right? Because you can't go too close to the actual product.
Exactly. There's a lot of like knowing what you can get away with through legal with that stuff, with fake products, not making them the same color scheme as what they're trying to evoke, newspapers.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
It sounds like you're one of those people who's lucky enough to be doing something and making a living at something you genuinely love doing.
Oh, dude. I've wanted to be involved in the movie since I saw E.T. in the theater when I was 3.
Wow.
Hmm. Now, Sean, we usually do questions, but I think with you, you're kind of a VIP guest because you, you gave us this amazing present. Do you have a question? Do you want us to fix your life? How can we be of service to you for giving us this beautiful present?
You know, just being here and giving me 20 years of Scrubs watching is great. Wow. And I have to be honest, for the fix your life thing, I was having trouble thinking of any way that you could fix my life, because honestly, my life is just real great. I'm real happy.
Oh my God.
Nice.
Amazing.
You know what? I'm going to hit it. Sorry, Donald.
I did not turn my key, but I will turn it now.
Until we have the prop. Okay. All right. So we don't need to fix your life because
there actually is something that you can do that would help keep my life fixed.
Okay.
Okay.
So you may be aware that here in Georgia, we have a shit heel of a governor who keeps signing bullshit laws.
Yeah, we know about that.
And what ends up happening is a bunch of people in Hollywood start saying, well, we shouldn't film in Georgia anymore. And, you know, it doesn't help us. If the film industry leaves Georgia, then you're just taking a whole bunch of blue voters out of the state right after we just flipped the presidency. We just put 2 Democrats in our Senate. You know, we're on the cusp of like really changing Georgia into a good place. And the governor doing all this only got there because he cheated. Yeah. So
Now, how do you, Sean? So I hear what you're saying, but what is there, obviously there's people. I know Will Smith was one of them who moved his film to Louisiana. Yeah. What do you say to people that are upset with what he's trying to do, and don't want to? I understand what you're saying. He's like, don't take the work away. That's not, you're going to affect people that are probably on your side, and you're going to put a lot of people out of work. It's not their fault. But when you're the Will Smiths and of the world, or people who have actually power to move productions, what do you say to them?
Well, I just say, look at what Ryan Coogler said and what Jordan Peele said. They said, you stay and fight, you change it. We have Stacey Abrams almost certainly running for governor again next year. And she has been pushing a voter sign-up initiative for the last 4 years.
Yeah, she's incredible. She's going to get nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. She's so incredible.
She's been largely credited with putting Georgia in the Biden column, just with her own efforts. And she's going to keep fighting that fight, and then she's going to run for governor, and we're going to get rid of this guy, and Georgia's going to stop passing these stupid laws, and everybody can be happy here. But it can't happen if film just shuts down and takes everybody that, you know, came here from LA that's like-minded away.
I have a question you might know the answer to, or if you don't, Dana will. What's the thinking behind you're not allowed to bring someone water as they wait online to vote?
Oh, it's just straight evil.
What is the governor's logic? The governor's logic is that it's encouraging people to vote a certain way.
By bringing them water?
He never gave like a specific reason. Like there, at least in my like readings, there's never been like a, well, we don't want to like back up the line, or, you know, we don't know what's in that water you're giving. Like they didn't even try to bullshit it. They were just like, you just can't do that anymore.
What's in the water?
Like part of the law is that the state can determine how many polling places a locality has and how much early voting they have.
Right.
To put them all on an even keel so that a county with 5,000 people can have the same amount of voting resources as Fulton County with 10 million people or whatever there are here. And so that creates these giant, super long lines in areas where it's primarily people of color or other likely Democratic voters, and they have to be in line for 8 hours. And if you can bring them food and water, then
they might stay.
They might stay. Otherwise,
so it really is as simple as like, we don't want to encourage them to stay in line.
Yeah,
I just think it's crazy. And I'm going to say this as apolitically as possible, because I really just think it's insane to say that any human being in this country who can vote has to wait 8 hours to vote. It's just bizarre that that's an accepted thing. And I can understand how frustrated you would be in Georgia, because you'd be like, why do certain neighborhoods have no wait and our neighborhood has a fucking 9 hour wait?
Yeah,
that's exactly it.
Doesn't make any sense. And so you would say, all politics aside, let's add more polling places. Let's add more drop boxes. Why is that even a debate? No one should have to wait that long to vote.
Because then the people that have been cheating to get into office for the longest can't get into office.
I know, that's so fucking sinister.
That's politics. Isn't that politics?
On top of that sinister is that if you do decide to give somebody water in line, you could go to jail for a year.
Right.
A full year.
Yeah.
What the hell?
That does not seem like a good man. All right. So we're going to fix your life by not taking our productions out of.
I would be so, so grateful if you guys could just use your voices and say, you know, stay in Georgia and fight.
Well, Donald did. And wherever Ryan Coogler does, Donald wants to do that as well, because Donald is going to be in Black Panther one day. Listen, Sean, I have to admit, when I heard about this, I had the same reaction. Not that I was about to make something in Georgia, but I thought to myself, oh, Hollywood's going to pull out of this state because it's ridiculous. And then I saw people like Ryan Coogler and others, Stacey Abrams, saying, no, please, look, we're making such progress. Don't abandon us. You know?
Yeah, because that's what it is. That's what it turns into.
Will Smith didn't get your message. Donna, why don't you call Will Smith and tell him to change his mind?
Let me write that down.
Call Will Smith. Sean,
I'm sorry if I made that too political. It's real important to me, and I don't even think it needs
everyone will interpret it as political as a Democratic Republican thing. But I just find it so baffling when you come at it from an innocent point of view. If you just put yourself in a I don't know anything about politics place and go, why do some neighborhoods have more polling places per capita than others? Why are you there's an 8-hour wait? Why are you taking more away? It just doesn't make any logical sense at all.
You're right.
And then you go, okay, and then you go, wait, I got an extra something. When people are bringing them water and food.
Let's put them in jail.
That's encouraging them to stay. Let's make it illegal to bring them water. That's some crazy 2021 shit right there. All right. Well, how do we end on a happy note, guys? Donald, say something funny.
Booger snot shit ass.
What?
Fuck.
Booger snot shit ass?
Good night.
No, that didn't do it. Didn't do it.
That did it for me.
Listen, everybody.
Sean, I'm still laughing.
Sean, are you going to watch Percy vs. Goliath, my new film that's number 4 on iTunes tonight?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. Please do. You must like Christopher Walken.
I love Christopher Walken.
It's a very good film. It happens to be number 4 on iTunes. Listeners, please check it out. It was made for 11 cents and
don't lie to them.
It was made for very little money, and the fact that it is number 4 on iTunes with no marketing budget is cool. And I hope that it continues to do well.
I feel like a lot of that has to do with the people that are in the movie.
I think everyone loves Christopher Walken. Christina Ricci and I are the small supporting parts, but it's all about Walken, and he's just a pleasure to watch. And it's about a very interesting subject, Monsanto, which we won't even begin to try and talk about here, but you'll see it in the movie. Joelle, do you have anything you want to tell the audience? Don't forget to buy merch. We have socks. We have badge pulls.
We got new hot shit coming. I'm so excited
there's some
for the merch
sexy
store.
Sexy stuff coming.
Sean, do you want to plug your podcast names one more time so everybody knows what the names are?
Sure. There's Table Reads, which you can find at tablereadspodcast.com, and Stargirl After Show, which is at stargirlaftershow.com. And I just have to say real quick to Joel and Daniel, I do those two podcasts all on my own, like all my own editing. Table Reads, I run like a live radio show with all kinds of production, and I cannot understate how much work that you guys must do to make this and other podcasts happen. Like, I don't think people understand the work that goes into that. I only was able to do Stargirl After Show because of the COVID shutdown. That's how much time I went into that. If I had to work a job, that show would suck.
Yeah. Well, look how tricked out.
Thank
you.
Sincerely.
You honor them.
You honor me. you honor me.
I kept my wet bathing suit on for Sean.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank
you. I'm going to slide it off the second we hang up.
Oh my God.
Please do not.
I'm going to slide it off in a provocative manner.
Do not do that.
Even though I'm alone, I'm going to try and turn my cell phone by how slowly I slide it
down. I thought you were going to do it when we were on. I was about to say, do not do it.
Oh no. I wouldn't do it in front of Joelle and Daniel, but you might actually like it. Thank you for listening as always. We really, really, really appreciate you. And next week we're going to have the directors of Seaspiracy on. We're going to do one of our, a conversation with, it's going to be really interesting. So check out Seaspiracy this week and check out Percy vs. Goliath this week. And thank you so much. Donald, count us out.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a